neighbors, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This being show number 59 on November 25th, 2003. Recorded right here at the Little Ranch House on Southwest Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
And Tom, how are you on this fine fall afternoon?
Oh, if I was any finer, I don't know what I'd do. I couldn't stand it, I don't think, Don. Good to have you with us, though. Don Patterson,
yes,
hi there.
Yes, sir, glad to be here. The last day before Turkey Day.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. My name's Tom Houston. But ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, and I like to get serious with this because
it's
something that needs to be serious. And in fact, I'm going to cut it to
Dale Campbell.
Dale Campbell.
Ladies and gentlemen, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr.
Hello there, friends and or neighbors.
Man, is it? How long has it been? 2 weeks since we've done a.
It
seems like it's been
months.
Like it's been
God,
a long time.
Seems forever to
it
me.
It does. Seems like months. We didn't get together and drink last week. I think I'm deprivation there.
Well, and I'm making
Tom,
up for it.
Tom Houston is here with us from Burke General Hospital down there. Everybody just has been
sick. The Burke Nursing Home.
Burke Nursing Home. Everybody at your house has been sick, haven't they?
Yes, sir, we Bob.
Except Martha, who's the oldest of all of them.
That's
is,
right.
Is
and she's healthy as a horse.
Kicking along. Really huh? Yeah. Boy, I tell you what. It's been. If you got kids in school, you're going to have some illness in your family.
Right, and you know my grandkids are right next door.
And they just bring it over, don't
they're
they?
They're in and out all the time, so we're going to get everything that comes along, I'm afraid.
I guess that's true. I guess you Dons have avoided any sort of viruses
well,
so
I,
far.
I have, you know, become reclusive and shut in since I'm retired. So, yeah, I don't even, and they don't even bring the mail up to the house anymore, so I don't come in contact with anyone. You know?
I guess when you stay home, it was a lot better. But Luann got it from the office one time and brought it home 2 years. It was been 3 years ago. It was the Y2K year.
Yeah.
And, God, it's the sixth I've ever been in my life. Anyway, we're all well, and we hope you are. Thanksgiving is behind us. When this show runs, everybody's full of turkey and all that. I think we're going to play trivia on Saturday. Did I tell you that? I didn't tell you that.
No.
What are y'all doing Saturday?
Well, I'm not sure. Not
cutting the grass.
Probably mowing at Bear Claw.
Well, you need to take a few hours off. I think we're going to cook chili and play trivia all day Saturday. Get Terry Lynn and two or three other people that like to play trivia and just sit up all day and drink and play trivia all
that
day long.
That sounds interesting.
Good to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry they're serving alcoholic
beverages. Well, after two or three hours, of course, if you're drinking, playing trivia. I mean, you know.
I don't think they would be too worried about having long a game.
Well, of course, Terry Lynn and Luann don't drink either one, so
they're
I think back in the old days, one could say we could sit up and drink all day, but now.
I'm good for a couple hours.
8:30 maybe.
But Luann and Terry Lynn don't, so they can be the champions or do whatever. We play teams, so I don't look so dumb because I don't know anything about pop culture. You know, old time radio and music, I know all. About that, but it's my musical repertoire. Nobody knows any of the songs I know anymore. So I don't know. Anyway, we have what else is going on? Nothing. How's the house coming?
Well, it's all dried in. They have a few odds and ends. They had one window that they misordered.
What
that? Huh?
What was that?
I don't know.
What? Maybe it's my radio. Anyway,
one window that they had misordered. It was wrong dimensions, and so we're waiting for that. And then we had one in the little garage to put in, and then the sheet rockers were there and came and kind of surveyed the situation, and we're going to start. But then as of yesterday, they had not started. So.
Well, what is the garage? This is a separate detached garage. It is roofed.
It has a roof. And insulated and wired and.
Well, I'll be darned. Did you get all your Cat 5 cable running?
Yes, I did. I did that last Saturday. I went and double-checked the guy. I had trouble with him. He's a good kid, and that's all he does is wiring, but he doesn't, and we had a little language problem maybe. And he kept wanting to run one of he didn't understand the closed thing. I just want this to go from computer to computer.
Yeah.
And he would run one outside, and then, of course, the phone company comes. They think it's a phone. They're going to hook it up.
Which is what they did at Spud's house. They just used his Cat 5 that I bought him a box of Cat 5 from some elect from the parts in Bryan, and they used to come to use
yeah.
it.
Well, and we, I went out there Saturday and traced them, and then I also labeled them like number one, yeah. number two, and number three, and they all wind up in the upstairs room over
okay,
the bonus
but,
room.
Okay, but you know when you get up there which one is
I know which one goes to
oh,
where.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And then on yes, the, we're having to go satellite TV because there's no cable, and of course, and when yeah. you split that signal, it's just the reverse of splitting for TV.
Yeah.
You have to split it after it comes off of the control box instead
oh.
of splitting it before, you know, like running a
I
cable over here. And so
yeah.
what I had to do is I went in, and this guy was aware of that. He knew that, but what he had done is like in one place where I have four wires, I'm going to split four ways. He had them coming out of one box. And so those are really, I wanted to hot the one coming from the satellite in its own little box, and then I put the other three in a box, and I'll put the connectors on them and then direct it to where I want it to go, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, rather than us renting seven controllers, it's only two of us, you know, we're going to have three. I want one upstairs in the bonus room, one in the bedroom, and one in the den. But then mm-hmm. the other two bedrooms, the guest bedrooms, you know, when her kids come, when Emmy's kids come, and they want to watch TV, we can control it from the bonus room.
They just have to watch what you tell them to watch.
Well, or can go up there and change the channel, see? So.
Yeah, there's no sense in having that many control
boxes. And I also fixed it so where if and when we get cable TV, which I had probably preferred because you can get the internet with it, then I fixed it where it'll be easy for me to redo it and wire them all together.
What are you going to do with for fast internet?
I'm gonna have just dial up right now. That's the only... I've called the phone company. I'm on the waiting list for DSL, but lady, they gave me the guy's name in Conroe. You know, we're still dealing with this proprietary phone company.
I could probably help you there.
Well, they have me on the list. And I told
them Chris Copenhaver, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll take
Kip,
you up on it.
Kip Havard. Remember Kip Havard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before radio show, he works phone company now. Sharp computer guy. Really
you
sharp
better
kid.
Believe
well,
it.
We need it. Cause,
well, I'll tell. Let me know. Call me.
Okay.
Email Tommy.
Okay, hello. I'm in need of a flexible timer that works with JAWS. It would be very helpful for me to have a timer that could be programmed to make an announcement at different times each day. I need a warning timer or a transition timer program that I can easily set. For example, I have students who have recess and lunch at different times. Some kids have therapy on Tuesdays and Thursdays to really mess me up.
Uh-huh.
School gets out at different times each day, too. If I put times and days in a calendar program or even Excel or something like that, could it be scripted or programmed to play a wave file? I would like to make the recorded message that is played for each timer setting. If you have suggestions on how I might accomplish this, I would be very happy to hear from you. Thank you, Keith Christian.
You know, is this guy on the list, Sean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to pass this on to someone who would understand this. I mean, who would know how to do this. My suggestion would be Kevin Doucet.
Well, I've got an answer. Someone actually named Dixie wrote the list, and she wrote in an answer and said talked about a software called Day by Day,
uh-huh.
and it's from Blind Software Incorporated, and she said it'll do exactly what he needs to be done. So,
well, boy, we solved his problem.
Well, and also, other than your calendar thing, isn't there an appointment? Can you work it? Like
I think this does all that,
yeah.
everything, calendar
okay.
and
because
alarms.
I know, and also, if this person sounds kind of like a teacher, maybe, mm-hmm. Student.
Well, why don't
you
just buy a Radio Shack watch?
And or if he also has a Braille note.
They'll
you know,
it.
You,
Braille,
you, Braille note, man, you can set alarms. It'll go off. It'll evacuate the building. So, but anyway, the software sounds like the best deal. But or also, you know, just for a one-time, like I'm our little electric timers are...
They would work.
Well, wait a minute. The Radio Shack watch has four alarms on it.
It's got four alarms. But
and they're all settable by, you know, the Radio Shack makes a clock that has four alarms that you can't set alarms 2, 3, and 4. The Radio Shack watch, like I have on my arm right here, let's do it.
Can you set it for different days, though, alternate days?
No, you can't set it for different days.
See,
when you get up that day.
But I think that's what he's talking about on certain days on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I guess that's
what
so
you
I think
could
software,
do with this day by
yeah,
day software
would be
calendar.
Right. I think that's an answer to his question.
Just set appointments and things.
So, Dixie. All right, Kevin, you got out of that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
well, I figured he'd know. He sent me a calendar program that worked pretty good. I used it for a while. It's kind of cumbersome. I didn't like it, but it did what I wanted it to do. I didn't know what I wanted.
And it was screen reader friendly.
It was very screen reader friendly.
This one's supposed to be also. This day by day is supposed to be real jobs.
I love this.
Friendly.
We were actually dispensing some useful advice. It's amazing, isn't it?
Here's a little something we took off the list. It says, "Dear list members, our valley is surrounded by the Cherokee National Forest, and therefore we have quite a number of employees of the Forest Service in the area. And let's see, the Forest Service provides a home to the local ranger. Mm-hmm. Back in the 50s, a problem developed with the septic system at the ranger's home, and a couple of employees were dispatched to dig out the lines and to solve the problem.
Oh, boy.
Now, after the time, the two fellows with the shovel has uncovered the line, running from the house to the septic tank, another crew showed up, one of which was a fellow named Joe Floyd. Now, Joe was quite a character in these parts, and being the take-charge type of fellow, he told the two fellows with shovels to stand back, and he would soon have the problem solved. So Joe then brought up the truck he was driving, which happened to have a diesel compressor in tow. Joe then jumps down in the hole and quickly makes a hole in the clay pipe, into which he places the hose from the compressor, and then packing material was placed to make the connection airtight. Unfortunately, the diesel motor then sprang into action, and sure to his word, Joe discovered the problem.
Yeah, blew stuff everywhere.
The line from the house to the tank was filled with sewage, which suddenly rushed into the house. When the pressure reached the critical point, blowing the commode off the floor and spraying the inside of the bathroom and kitchen with the contents of the line. Now, the ranger's wife, who was at home at the time, she fled out the door to safety on her way to New York, where her family lives. And Joe received an assignment to clean up the mess from the ranger. he was a bachelor until his death, and his wife would make for an entertaining book. Now, his life would make for an entertaining book. His take-charge approach made him many friends and few not friends along the way. And I pass this true story along to make the point that handymen and ladies can apply too much power to solve a problem. Yeah. By the way, the ranger's wife did return after a month or
this,
so.
What is this guy's name that sent this email?
Okay, Clifford. This came from Clifford Wilson.
Yes, okay, he's on the list.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which reminds me of the time that, you know, I was unstopping the kitchen sink with one of those things that you put on the end of a hose. I've told this story before. It blows up.
Uh-huh.
And I stuck it down in and said, "All right, turn the water on, Lou Ann." She was standing outside, and the water went up through the vent pipe and came down on her.
Oh, boy. What a deal.
And she married me anyway. I don't understand that. Boy, she was not happy. It was cold wintertime. The water was cold.
Man.
I loved it. I went and laughed. I said, "You hurt?" And I went to the bathroom and laughed.
You know, isn't that odd? They're talking about me in jest and in humor. And, of course, he says it's true.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dispute that, but talking about septic tanks of the 50s, but even until recently, but you know, and then talking about the compressor, but that's exactly what they've done to upgrade the septic system is to incorporate air, a compressor.
That's exactly true.
That's what biodegrades the, and so that's, you know, you have no longer have fuel lines that you used to have to lay in gravel and hope they didn't clog up. You have these
and run them 300 feet.
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
And so isn't that, that's kind of a neat little story in
itself. Pump comes on, you know, and puts air in there, and that helps biodegrade your waste.
The waste, right.
From
exactly.
Your,
literally say, you know, not that anyone would want to do it, but they said you could actually drink the water that comes out. I mean, that
they say you could.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
don't
guess,
know that I would.
Well, I guess we
can.
We probably have without, you know, unbeknownst
so.
To the.
Yeah, I think Lufkin's supposed to start purifying their water in a couple
one
of
day.
Years.
One day.
So you think we're the only market in the world where you can't keep your cell phone number now? Huh?
Well, in other words, they said in some rural areas. That,
and we're one of them?
Well, they said in some rural areas it will take until next May. But I called our phone company and asked them about it, and they were completely unaware of the legislation. They said, well, and I said, but I know it's happened. They said, well, we don't have any documentation.
Well, no wonder you can't get DSL, you idiot.
It may take a while.
I bet I can help you with that DSL.
Lufkin Conroe telephone. I mean, who else? Everybody else has Southwestern Bell or Bell or Verizon or, you know, we have Lufkin, Conroe.
You know, I don't mind you complaining about the phone company because in some ways it's bad. But I remember when I moved up here, before I moved up here, it was easier to call New York City than it was to call Huntington. You couldn't call Huntington, Texas, which is 10 miles south of us. Margie Tindall ran the phone company, bless her heart. She's a wonderful lady, but they just were technologically deprived up here.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I bet.
When I first moved up here, I bought 50 rechargeable batteries because I wasn't sure you'd get batteries up here even. I thought I was moving from Houston, you know.
What else you got?
Big switch there.
Yeah, I got something real nice here that I want to read. It says, hi, folks. This morning, cup of coffee in hand and with a few small pieces of chocolate to help wash the coffee down.
Yeah.
I've read a number of messages on various subjects which I hardly could understand. I'm reading on electronics, design of roof assemblies, and other subjects. Why am I so thoroughly enjoying my ignorance and lack of experience? It's because all this is being done by blind folks and obviously at very high levels of expertise. It just points out that it is often not the blindness that is the barrier, but the perception.
That's right.
So here you all are in the position of amazing your blind friends with what you can do. Not exactly a role reversal, but an interesting perspective. And this is from Tim Ford.
Good.
Hooray for Tim.
But now we had Tim as a guest, didn't we?
He's
pretty sharp.
Yeah. Mechanic and
he's a sharp guy. He knows
auto type work.
We all, you know, being blind is just a slowdown. I mean, it just slows you. You just can't do everything that sight people can do, but you can do. You'd be amazed at what, you know, we find it. Like, I talked to the guy that's going to be on Blind Like Me next, that's a physicist. I was telling something, I told John Henry about it. He said, "El, you know, if you could see, it would be hard to get a degree in physics."
Oh, sure.
Well, yeah. And this guy did it with Braille. Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, and I think Tim, though, to me, amplifies, you know, a thought that we've had and even discussed here is we've enjoyed doing the show, and we hope we are informing people. And sometimes it's just a lot of BS, and sometimes it's genuine. But, you know, I've learned as much from the people who write in as...
Oh, yeah,
we,
no
I mean,
doubt.
Exactly.
Oh, sure.
And,
we have.
And proves Tim's point. It's just the perception. It's certainly not the blindness because there's some sharp dudes out there.
Well, you know.
And ladies.
Our air conditioners go out and our commode stop up as often as sighted people. Because you're blind doesn't mean your commode will work all the time.
That's right. And because you're blind don't mean you can't learn how to fix it.
Doesn't mean you can't learn how to fix it, and you should learn how to fix it if you're at all mechanically inclined. All right. Guest today is
Felix.
Felix, the guitar fretting guy, right?
Yeah.
Hey.
That'll be good.
Guitar work.
I hope we can talk intelligently with him.
I wonder if he could fix my fiddle.
I don't know if he could or not. But anyway, we'll have Felix in just a few minutes more of the Blind Handyman Show. Stand by.
Contact information.
Hi, everybody.
everybody. This is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handy Man for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. BlindHandyMan, all one word, at hotmail.com, or BlindLikeMe, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the show. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
You are listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
We took a little trip, vacation, sort of slash working vacation, to San Francisco. My wife is an attorney, and she found a seminar out there. So, of course, the company paid her way, and by proxy, they paid mine. They didn't know they were going to, but they did. We were wandering around San Francisco. Charlie and I, of course, looking for some place to find a drink.
No.
The women looking, if you can imagine that. The women looking for antiques, and we were at Fisherman's Wharf, and we stumbled across these guys playing, and I don't know how I discovered that one of them couldn't see, but we waited till break, and we met Felix. And how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You still picking that guitar, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here making CD copies for a show I have to do Friday and Saturday.
What kind of show?
Well, Eric Lindell, I guess he lives in New Orleans now, is doing a show in the Forestville area out here, and asked the band I play in to be his backup band, so he's flying out, and he gave us these CDs and stuff to learn, so... In the process of learning a bunch of new material quickly, real quickly.
So you're learning learning all the chord structures of his songs, and there's no way for you to write them out. You're going to have to memorize them, aren't you?
Oh, I will, and I have to, you know, and I have to point out to the other people in my band what they're going to have to remember, because it, you know, sometimes it gives people a good idea, especially where the breaks and stuff are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll play guitar, and you'll have how many instruments in the band? Drums and bass, of course.
Well, two guitar players, bass and drums. I don't know if he has other people with us or not. He had horns on his records and stuff, but I don't think he's gonna, you know.
Now this guy that you're playing with, his name is Eric Mindell. Did you say
Eric Lindell?
Lindell. Now, does he? Uh-huh. Is he? He's a singer.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. He's a good singer. He sort of sounds like Johnny Lang slightly.
Yeah. Well, he ain't country, or I'd know him, wouldn't I? Huh?
No, he's more like New Orleans, kind of bluesish, kind of funky.
Well, it's neat that they called you to play. You're looking forward to it once you get kind of once the first set's done, everything will be fine, won't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't worry about it too much. It's more worry about everybody else trying to do, you know, be consistent and try to get everybody on the same page. He's happy with what we do.
Well, you want that, yeah? Maybe it'll all work out. I've played in a few bands. I know what you're going through.
Well, even if you hit a wrong chord there, Felix, if everybody will do it together, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's funny because there's this one song that goes on forever the same way, and then it just out of the blue modulates. And I'm going, this is going to be real interesting how to know when it's just going to go up a half step to boom, right out of the blue, too. And it's fast.
Yeah.
It just sort of whoop, and there it is.
My
goodness, that's going to be interesting.
If you were country, you could just say, "Let's take her up a notch, there, boys."
If he does,
fellers, watch out.
You fellers, look out! I'm going to E.
Well, you know, a lot of times I notice that, you know, guys either worry about me too much since I can't see, or they just kind of forget I'm even there.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other, you know.
I think that's probably applicable to life. Once they figure out that you're all right, you tend to forget that you're there, which is the way I like it. I like to kind of be the invisible guy.
Me too. It works okay for me.
Well, you play very well, and you've been playing a long time. I think the main kind of thing we wanted to talk about is you, that guitar you showed me, you had rebuilt it or refretted it or done what to it?
I had basically from scratch rebuilt it. I mean, other than the piece of wood it was, everything got changed, everything.
You bought a neck blank, or you bought, how did you, first of all, why did you want to change it? What was wrong with it the way it was?
It was playable the way it was. Well, I'll tell you that this all goes back to, I was paying, $200 and $300 a shot to get guitars refretted.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't afford it. And I said, this is rent money, eating money, and I just couldn't afford it. So I said, I'm going to learn how to do this. So I went to the different luthiers, and they went, well, you should be able to do this. It's pretty much feel type stuff. You probably do it better than us if you learn how to do it. And, they were just joking around with me because they never, And then this one guy, Mitch, who's a real good luthier, he said, I'll tell you what, I'll show you how to do this if you don't go and take my business, because I'm feeling you'll do this really well.
In other words, if you'll just do your own guitar and not offer it as a service, we'll teach you how to do it. Well, that was nice of him. He was a sighted fella, right?
He is a sighted guy. And actually, if somebody wants me to do a guitar, he doesn't really care. He just, I couldn't tell if he was joking at first.
The luthier's here. I've got a couple of Martins that I want repaired, and I've checked three or four people. And this guy, one guy told me, I'll do it for you, Mr. Parr, but it'll be 2 years. I got that much work back there.
Whoa.
So I'm going to send, I've got one Martin I bought on eBay that's got a little problem. The little binding is coming off. I'm just going to send it back to Martin, which is probably the sensible thing to do,
Well, for Martins, it probably is. But, if the binding's coming off, and if you go get some Franklin hide glue and be kind of careful and just get glue where it needs to be gently.
Why don't I send it to you?
Get the binding back on and clamp it.
I'll just send it to you.
Well, I have done some of that. I personally like when I refret the guitars, if they have binding, I deal with it different ways. What I do is take in, well, I guess I should go through the process of some of this. Of what happened.
I think so.
Yeah, let's start from the beginning.
And if you use any special tools, you might mention that.
Yeah, right. there are special tools for doing a lot of this because it's things that, for instance, say you decide you're going to refret a guitar. You have to, you should probably go to Stuart McDonald and order, water tools. Fret pulling tools, fret cutting tool. They make a saw with a scale on it so that you can't go too deep because you have to clean out the fret slots and recut them. And you have to make it so that you can put the new frets in because old glue and the garbage in there. And
sure. And
I like to have my neck flatter in radius than most Fenders and Gibsons are. And I don't know if you noticed that when you play that guitar, you could bend the strings as far as you want and the note will stay there.
Now, does a fret blank, does a neck fingerboard blank come with holes already, grooves already carved in it?
Well, I don't take that off.
Oh, you never take that off.
When you take out the frets, you take the frets out of the fingerboard, then you clean the fret slots.
Yeah.
And you proceed to make sure that there's enough slot for the tang of the new fret to go down in it all the way because, sometimes I have, I've had Janet pound frets in. I've done it. I did it to the guitar you played. I pounded in myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd assume have somebody you can see just pound them in because it just, if they can get them in all the way and make sure that everything's really level, it makes it so that then after I don't have to do as much polishing and crowning and fret dressing and all that stuff that's just ugly work and takes sometimes, a couple of days.
Did you say that you like a neck with a little more curve to it in that you like the middle of it where the G and D strings are to be a little closer to the strings or what?
I want it flatter.
You want it as flat as you can get it.
Yeah, because Fenders, if you get the action, I don't know if you noticed how low that action was, but it was extremely low on that guitar that I handed you that day.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and yet, if you, you know, all the notes would play, and if you bent the string over, say you bent a whole step or a minor third or even more, it'll just go there, you know, it'll yeah. just go over and it won't go, you know, like on a Fender, you do that and it goes, it just frets yeah. right out, and you have to raise the action to accommodate that problem.
Mm-hmm. And so
what I do is I use big frets, 6100 stock of Dunlap, and then I just go and make sure the fingerboard is pretty flat from side to side,
mm-hmm.
So that it is pretty much really flat. And then after that, and make sure it's flat from end to end too, because that, you know, the whole
well,
issue.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got to be flat end to end, or you'll end up with the action high the further you go up the neck.
Yeah, you'll have yeah. You could have that. You could have other weirdnesses too. I mean, the first couple of guitars I did, I screwed up, but it was part of a learning process.
Yeah,
I bet it was a learning.
You know,
process.
It was part of the. You know, after that, I said, you know what, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to make sure that. But I didn't, you know, because they didn't tell me everything. You
yeah,
know,
they like, never do. People, they never the do. Problem. Do that. It's you know.
Let me ask you this, Felix. I mean, you were talking about the price, the initial price going in. Said you got tired of paying $300. So obviously, there would be a bottom line price on the guitar that you were. Well, this is kind of a two-part question. The guitar that you were going to refret would have to be worth something, or either your favorite, kind of like your old sweater or your old shoes that you didn't want to throw away, but. Or, like, how much, when you do it yourself, does it cost? And then, I'm having, how often does a guitar need refretting, I guess?
Well, if you play it a lot, and, you know, what actually happened was some of these guitars were, like, new-to-me guitars, and I liked them, but I didn't like that they came with little tiny frets.
Okay.
So I'd yank out the little frets, and, in fact, I did that to my bass. I have a 5-string bass, and I refretted that as well because it had this weird, I don't know what to call that. It's a polished sort of stuff like plastic, urethane kind of stuff on the fingerboard.
Yeah.
And it was making it so the tang of the fret didn't reach all the way to the wood. And when I played certain notes, it would kind of go boom, instead of there, and ring out. And I said, what is so weird is this problem? What, you know, and some strings would do it and some wouldn't. And I'm going, wait a minute, this is really weird. I've never seen this problem. And, you know, and then I realized that the fret wasn't really, if I pressed real hard, it would ring. And I'm going, now, wait a minute, my friend Jeremy said, you know, the end of the fret isn't really all the way in the fingerboard. And so I refretted that because I took off all that plastic stuff that's supposed to make the fingerboard look nice, and then I refretted it so that it would ring every time.
Which is what you wanted it to do.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the fingerboard may not look as pretty, but the fact is the instrument sustains forever if I want it. And it's a great studio instrument, and, you know, it was only a $400 instrument to start with.
And to blind people, pretty is not too important most times, is it?
No, I mean, I don't like working on dirty instruments. I had a friend have me refret his Les Paul, and it was filthy, and I spent the first, like, hour and a half cleaning it. It was like, you know, I just kind of, before I even unfretted it, before I started to work on it, I just went, wow, this thing's filthy. Holy moly. It was
man.
Just like sweat for days and finish coming off from sweat and just, it was just a gross.
Had he used any of that, wonderful stuff? Had he, has this boy used any of that stuff called finger ease? You ever use that?
Yeah, but I used 3-in-1 oil instead.
You just use 3-in-1 oil.
Uh-huh. Just clean the 3-in-1 oil.
Because it would be a whole lot cheaper, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and the finger ease, I find in a way it makes your fingers kind of, I don't know, it seems to me it dirties up the strings more than it cleans them.
That's
I don't understand.
That's what I was going to say.
It doesn't.
Is that what he had used to dirty up his strings, that finger ease?
He might have used it because he didn't know any better in those days. And,
yeah.
And you know, now I've worked on his guitars for a couple of years, and I showed him some things, and he's going, man, this works way better. And I had a girlfriend who helped me refret his guitar, and they did it too fast, and I had to refret it again.
I've been around a lot of what I consider really good guitar players, and I've never seen one that uses anything. Most of them just, if you can play, you play.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
if you can't, you buy effects, right?
I just use 3-in-1 oil to keep the strings clean. And yeah. I just like playing on a clean surface. I, you know, I'm used to playing with a tiny bit of oil on the strings just because it feels good and it responds properly. And it also protects my fret job a bit.
And it cleans, it keeps the strings clean.
Yeah. It's, you know, you kind of, some guys go, oh, I can't play on that oil. And I say, well, you're not supposed to be using that much, but you just want just enough to, because it keeps the surfaces and the tops of the frets clean. And, you know, I mean, some people use steel wool to clean frets. Some people use jeweler's rouge. I just use 1600 grit sandpaper.
When I was playing back, I got broke when I was in my mid-40s, and I had to go play a while to make the rent and to eat. And I was playing an acoustic guitar and playing bass pedals with my feet and just playing acoustic guitar every night. And I got to where about every third or fourth day I had to buy a new set of strings. I got tired of that, so I took them off and boiled the strings in a pan of water. Boiled them, put them back on, and they sound just like new.
I found when I did that, they sounded a lot like new, but not just like new.
And not just like new, but close enough.
When you take them off, and then you put them back on, you know, the kinks and stuff of how they had been before,
yeah.
And all that kind of, I don't know, and sometimes you get a little kink in the middle of the string, weirdnesses, and I just got to get scared. So I found the 3-in-1 oil worked pretty good to make it so I didn't have to do that, and the guitar's still happy, and, you know. It
yeah.
Just, you know, a little bit of thin oil, you know, just a little bit of it works pretty good.
Put it on a paper towel or what? Put it on.
No, I just put it on my fingertips.
Put it on your fingertips.
And just rub it on there and take, like, you know, my index finger and my ring fingernail kind of and go underneath the string so that if there's gum, uh-huh. you know, stuck under there from sweat from the day before,
yeah.
that I can kind of feel it and dig that off.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kind of a weird scenario, isn't it?
Well, no, it's good. I mean, this is what you do. This is your vocation. So you've learned a lot about it, and you should.
Got to mm-hmm. have it right.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you get a fret off a guitar without screwing up the neck, without just taking a screwdriver and brying that sucker off? How do you get one?
Well, Stumac sells these tools that look like, they kind of look like pliers, but at the end of them is blades. Imagine like a normal, not a needle nose set of pliers, but a normal set of pliers. But imagine at the very end is blades that come together and touch.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is you go to the end of the fret, to the very end of the fret, and, you know, the fret has a tongue that goes into the fingerboard.
Yeah.
And you kind of wiggle it around, you know, just kind of get underneath the fret on each side with those little blades, and you kind of rock them, and you gently kind of, you know, work your way along the fret, pulling it out a little bit more and a little bit more gently so that you get it out. And the idea is to try to get it out without, like, pulling out chunks of fingerboard and...
Yeah,
and,
the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this pair of pliers goes... Let me see if I can ask this question right.
All right.
This pair of pliers goes across the neck or just grabs the fret?
It grabs the fret, and you aim it straight down with the handle... The handle's, you know, straight up in the air pretty much.
Okay.
And, you know what I mean? So the blades are right at the end. They're right at the end, and they run perpendicular to the handles. If the handles are going straight up, those blades are running alongside the fret.
And they grab the fret.
They come together and grip underneath the fret, and you sort of rock the fret out of there by just kind of rocking it mm-hmm. forward and backward to ease the fret out, because if you on a Les Paul, you have to be careful, because when you take it out, all that wood wants to split and splinter, and it's gross, and then you have to take glue and a bunch of the resin from the fingerboard of another, you know, you, like, if it's mahogany, you get a bunch of mahogany powder, and then you get, like, super glue and mahogany powder, and you have to have somebody you can see put that back in the hole that you made. So you got to be careful.
Or you can buy a new neck.
Or, well, for Les Paul, since the neck and the body are joined, if you want a new fingerboard, it might cost you $600. That's what Mitch told me. I went, ouch!
You mean you cannot take the neck off a Les Paul guitar?
No.
We need to talk to Les.
How are you going to take that off? They're one piece.
I didn't realize that. I don't own one, so I did not
realize. There's no screws, no. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like a Strat or a Tele. You can take the neck off those.
I don't own an electric guitar.
Huh?
I don't own an electric guitar.
Holy moly. Well, let's see. In this house, there's probably 11.
Well, I've got a dozen Martins, acoustic guitars, but I don't have any electric guitars.
Boy, I have one acoustic guitar, and it's a Taylor.
A Taylor McTaylor's not a bad little guitar.
No, it's not a Martin. 412 CE.
It's not a Martin, but what is, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny because I found Martins that are really nice to play, and I find a lot of them that I just go, you know what?
That's
I don't
true.
Understand.
That's true.
Some of them just, they don't sustain like I want, and I love the old tones that you hear on the records, but those guys have the best Martins. Otherwise, they wouldn't be putting them on records.
I have the best sounding flat top I've ever heard, and it belongs to me. It's a J40 Martin.
Wow.
And it is a wonderful sounding flat top. My friend Randy Prince, who's a world-class guitar player, worked in a music store, and he called me one day and said, Phil, you need to hear this. So we went down and looked at it, and sure enough, about a month later, the guy went out of business and sold it to me for $1,000.
Wow.
All worth about $3,400.
Whoa.
Wow.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's right.
Anyway, so you take the fret out, and then, of course, you have to clean out the cavity or the slit, that the little canal that the fret went in.
Yeah.
And you buy, and all, the, you say you like thicker frets, but you, the fret, you the thickness is above the fingerboard. That's what you like.
Yes, the finger. The
because all fret wires the same size, or it all fits those grooves, right?
The tongs are very close. Some are bumpy, and some are not bumpy. I used to carry around frets and just show them to people.
Really? how does fret wire come? Does it come in a roll, or does it come in individual little frets?
You can get it either in packages of like 24 from Dunlap, or you can get it in rolls, and it's like $100 a roll or something.
So you'd have to cut it then.
Yeah, then you'd have to cut it. I actually like it in the rolls. It's okay. I just sometimes have to take pliers and very carefully try to straighten it because they make the fret wire, since it's in a roll, it's sort of arched to the neck of a normal guitar. It's
okay.
Sort of.
So
like
you want it flat, so you've got to straighten it a little bit.
Yeah, then I don't have to hammer the middle down as much. I don't have to fight with it to try to get it to. It doesn't fight too much, but sometimes they do. They get a little weird. And
now,
you have when you put them in, you have about a half an inch on each end, or maybe
an
inch on each end.
No kidding.
You know, and then you have to cut that off with a bigger pair of those blade goody deals.
And then you have to file it a little bit with just a plain file, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to find the high point of the file.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got to find the high frets and file those down or use a sandpaper to sand them down. It's just, it takes longer, but I like to keep as much fret on the fingerboard as I can in all cases, just because then the fret job will last longer. For it has to be refretted.
So no wonder they charge $300 to do this. It's a hell of a job, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it takes me 2, 3, 4 days.
Yeah, so it's worth $300. But fret wire is like $100 a roll. You could do a lot of guitars with a roll of fret wire, right?
Well, you could do. I don't know how much did Mitch tell me comes in a roll. I don't know. He showed me a roll once. That's a pretty good amount of fret wire. I could probably do, 20 guitars with it.
Yeah, so it makes basically that $300 is labor. I mean, it's labor intensive.
Now, it is, and I mean, I usually if I do it for people, I don't charge that much, but it does get expensive because it is work and it is something that you can't just And then like this one guitar, I had to replace the frets. The J Terser, I replaced the frets. I took a wiring harness, like a 335 wiring harness. With Seymour Duncan pickups, and I put that in that guitar that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
I put a different bridge on it and had the studs glued in to the body so that it would sustain better, and the studs in the back for the tailpiece got glued in so that and then the pick guard got changed to a Gibson pick guard because I just like those better than the J. Terser pick guard. And let me see, what else did I do? The tuning pegs are probably the only thing that's still stock.
The
and
keys.
The nut, I changed the nut on it also because I used like a graphite nut on it.
But you kept the keys. The tuning keys are the same.
I think those are original. I think those are still the J Church ones.
Before
everything
you
else,
go.
Everything else in the whole piece of wood is different.
We're about out of time. Before we go, give us the this place that you buy these supplies in case someone is interested in getting into this. Do you have an email address that someone could have if they want to write you and talk to you about it?
I have an email address.
Well, give us your email address in case anyone's interested in discussing this with you.
Okay, it's my ham call letters.
Okay.
Which are KC6RDU.
KC6?
Uh-huh.
KC6RDU.
Did you ever get past being a novice?
Huh?
Are you still a novice?
No, I'm a general.
General. KC6.
Nope, I've done my 13 words a minute code. I've been a ham for a while. Actually, it was my second novice, actually, because my first one I got in high school and it expired.
I'm
50 years old now.
All right, KC6RDU at what?
At Juno.
At Juno.com.
Yep.
KC6RDU at Juno.com if you want to talk about doing guitars. Well, sir, we appreciate you, and we'll do, I'll tell you what we'll do in 6 months or so. We'll call you back, and we'll talk about ham radio.
Oh, that'd be a fun thing to do.
That would be. And next time I get to San Francisco, we'll have to have a beer. Talk about it.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to get together and say hi.
Have to get together and play a little bit. I'll do those Buck Owens tunes, and you can do some rock and roll.
Oh, that'd be fun.
What a deal.
Appreciate you, sir. We'll talk with you later.
Okay. You guys are doing a great job. I love it. I've listened to 45 shows.
We'll send you that CD, Felix.
You're a glutton for punishment. We'll be back with more of the Brian Hanneman Show in just a minute.
Okay, take care.
Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind Like Me. Blind Like Me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind Handyman Listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind Like Me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information. Everybody, this is Phil Parr. We're enjoying putting these little programs together for you. We hope you're enjoying them, too. We've been on with the Blind Handyman for more than a year now. We've done 10 Blind Like Me shows. We're having one little problem. You can help us with it. We always need guests for both shows, and we sometimes have a problem finding them. If you'd like to be a guest on either show, or you know someone who might make a good interview, email us at one of the following addresses. Blind Handyman, all one word, at hotmail.com, or Blind Like Me, all one word, at txucom.net. Also, if you have ideas for future shows, include them in your email. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And please tell your friends about the show. Thanks again from all of us at the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me.
Thanks for listening to The Blind Handyman. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Don Patterson.
I thought I wasn't going to get you stopped.
Oh, hi there. Well,
I thought I was going to get you stopped.
I was talking during the break. I was giving these guys what for.
Well, it was during the break. And Don has no problem sharing his knowledge with folks.
That's right.
Never.
You
never
can't get
problem.
Them to listen. You can't help them.
You can't help
but
them.
Every week I come prepared to try to...
Poor schmuck.
Try to get them to pull themselves up.
Come along and do better.
Tom, why did you come to me for
it? Well, I thought we were going to talk about your little house on the
house. We're going to talk about the little house on the prairie and the little house on the house.
Little house on the prairie.
We're going to talk about cupolas, right?
Cupolas, right.
Yeah.
C-U-P-O-L-A.
Look it up in your dictionary,
Look it up in your dictionary.
Cupolas.
The warden, my dear, sweet, lovable...
Love child bride.
Wife.
Yep.
She has certain ideas about certain things, and I guarantee you, when she does, that's the way it's going to be. And so she came on one day and was telling me, have you ever seen a little house like this, and it has the weather vane on top and all that? And I said, well, yeah. Well, I'd like to do that. I want to. When we built our house, we're in the process of building our house. We built a second garage. It's off from the house, about 30 feet at the end of the main driveway. It faces the road. We have a side entrance garage that's attached to the house, and then this other garage. If you went straight back in the driveway, it's going to be. We kind of call it the toy shed. It's for the jet ski and the tractor and the motor scooters and just kind of a piddling room. If I ever get another table saw. And so she wants it to be, she's really gotten into it. She's picked out her certain kind of brick. I think the brick that we're using for the house is called Old Jamestown. I mean, they've got 100,000 of them, Old Red River, Old El Paso, Old this or that. And it connotes a different architectural look. I guess some would be Spanish, some would be so-and-so. And then on a newly bricked house, if they really sweep the mortar, they call it, or really take their finger and make the indent, it looks all clean and neat. But the new style is to not rake the mortar, and you leave it rough, and you kind of let it drip all over the bricks. And we're using a white sand mortar, which makes the mortar, instead of gray, the standard gray, it's going to be white. And then the brick has a lot of red and white in it.
Well, that sounds like the way a blind person could lay brick, doesn't it?
They really could, just
be right
not
in
rake
style,
it.
Wouldn't
and,
we?
And that has become the new rage, and it's designed to look like buildings 100 years ago.
What a deal, man.
Yeah.
And so in this context, in this going back to the good old days, she came to me one day and she said, well, you know, on our little garage, she said, do you know what a cupola is, she called it? And I said, no, I never heard of that, you know. And so she started telling me, and it's a little...
I've been to Cupola, Mississippi.
Yeah, well, I thought it was Shuffle Off. I thought there was a song called Shuffle Off to Cupola, but it's Buffalo, I guess.
Cupola County Jail.
But anyway, and so what a cupola, it's cupola, C-U-P-O-L-A, I finally found out. And in fact, there's you can type that in on your search engine and go, I'll find all... And it's a little... I guess you could call it similar, like to a birdhouse. One could build one, but it's a little square or cubical structure, and some of them have little roofs on them, and they kind of just are an extension. You put it on top of the roof, and normally people decorate them. I've seen them with a pointed, kind of a point. I don't want to call it a steeple, but almost.
As in a point in the middle, not a gable,
yeah,
but a point in the middle?
Well, they have a gable, and then right in the center of that gable, they just have a little point going up. Or I guess in some I have actually seen on a church house, the part of the steeple is attached to, in some churches, could be called a cupola.
Okay, now how big are these little
well,
houses?
Well, they come, ours is probably 36 by 36 square, and then
whoa.
It's probably 36 or 40
tall.
Inches tall.
Okay.
And ours has, people put little windows in them, one on all. In other words, they have four sides, the four directions, and if you put the weather vane up. And then, of course, the secret of them, they're designed to go on the ridge row.
That's
and
what
so
I meant, my next question.
And our particular roof is a 12-12. It's very steep. And roughly that angle that's made by that is about a 45-degree angle. And it just so happens that this cupola we purchased is made with a 45-degree angle.
Will fit on
it
that
will
ridge.
Sit right so on that ridge row.
So it sits at the end of the gable.
It sits, we're putting it about a foot back in. Okay. In from the edge of the house,
okay,
because you have more support. It's not just over your overhang.
I got you.
And then on top of this, we are going to put a weather vane. And then what you have in weather vanes, I don't know if you're familiar, you can get them with, like, help me out. What's on a weather vane? I mean,
like a rain gauge.
Yeah, but normally they have the rooster on them. Emily is an ex-horse person. She used to ride dressage and everything. So our particular weather vane, the arrow, the pointer, has a horse, a galloping horse on it. And then you have your directions, which have the letters like N, E, and S. And so we face our house, this particular little garage faces due north. And so we're going to install the weather vane on top of the little cupola.
Okay, now, for the benefit of blind people, can you see the direction the weather vane is pointing? Of course, you can see the direction it's pointing, but will the end be visible to you if the wind was blowing from the south and the weather vane was pointing north? Would you know that then?
Well, a blind person wouldn't, because it's...
No, but would you, being able to see? Would you?
Well, I would. I could see which... In other words, since I know which way is north, yeah.
Okay, all right, so but you'd have to know.
Yeah, well...
The weather vane wouldn't tell you. You'd have to know which way.
Yeah, the weather vane will tell you, because the end, you set... These are stationary. It has a X or a cross, two metal bars. One has the E and W on it,
okay,
and the other one has the N and S.
Okay.
N's on one.
All right.
And so you put those in at the proper direction.
And you would know.
And then you could look up at that weather vane. You could say, wind's from northeast.
The wind's blowing out of... And of course, I've always gotten, that's sort of like the age-old question, the chicken and the egg. If somebody says it's a north wind, is it blowing from the north or to the north?
No, it's blowing from the north.
Then your weather vane would be facing south.
Facing south,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, but anyway, and so I think this would be a neat project. I think somebody could build these and do.
Well, I intend to. That's why I'm asking you so much about them.
They're very simple.
I'm going to have to have one up on mine next time when Emily comes by. Look at my cupola.
I know we're kind of hurting for time, but this one was allegedly came from England and it was off. We didn't pay a lot of money, $200 and something.
I want to ask a girl, you want to see my cupola?
You wouldn't want to see you. You might get your face slapped. Could get your face slapped. But anyway, it's kind of a neat deal, and maybe we'll talk from time to time more about them if we decide to build one.
Which is what we need to do.
All right.
It is.
All right. Cupola on top of half. I've never seen one. A blind person would not know they were there unless we talked about it. Unless we talked about it. And the sides go up straight, and I needed to look at this thing before it gets put up. Anyway, we got to go.
Right.
Thank you, Don Patterson,
for your
cupola guy.
What a
keeper. Want to see my cupola?
He's a cupola guy.
Shaw boy?
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Another one.
Tom Houston got up from his sick bed to come and run the board for us.
Yeah, Mr.
God,
Tom.
God love you, heart. Tell Martha.
The Burke Care Center.
Burke Nursing Home. Well, have a happy holiday, and we'll see you next time on the Blind Handyman Show. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.